Hi, this is Carrie Brownstein.
This is DJ Premier.
This is Darren Aronofsky.
You got the RZA right here.
Rose McGowan.
Right here.
Aisha Tyler.
A Tribe Called Quest.
Fred Armisen.
Fritz Paul.
Javier Munoz. Seth Meyers.
Frankie Cosmos.
Flying Lotus.
Hi, we're Chaim. And you're listening to the Talk House Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Talk House Podcast. I'm Josh Modell. On this week's episode, we've got a legendary guitarist and songwriter in conversation with one of our favorite repeat guests, Mike Campbell and Margo Price. Campbell is best known as Tom Petty's right-hand man, a position he proudly held for 5 decades until Petty's untimely death in 2017. Together, they wrote some of the Heartbreakers' best-known songs, including Refugee, Here Comes My Girl, and You Got Lucky. Campbell also produced a bunch of Petty solo and Heartbreaker songs and has contributed his playing and writing skills to lots of other artists, too. I was surprised to learn just recently that Campbell co-wrote Don Henley's massive Boys of Summer, too. Who knew? But even before the end of the Heartbreakers' run, Campbell would spend time with his side band, the Dirty Knobs, where he not only plays guitar, but also sings and writes the lyrics. The band recently released their second studio album, External Combustion, which is where today's other guest comes in. Margo Price is a firecracker of a singer and songwriter who doesn't exactly fit neatly into the world of country, which is perhaps why she's been so embraced by folks outside that world. Jack White's Third Man Records released Price's first 2 albums, including her killer debut from 2016, Midwest Farmer's Daughter. And though she lives in Nashville, her sound is more old-school country than new. Her last album is 2020's That's How Rumors Get Started, though, as you'll hear in this chat, she's been working on both new music and an upcoming memoir. She pulls no punches, so both should be great. Oh, and she found some time to help out with some vocals on the Dirty Knobs' latest, specifically on a song called State of Mind. As a longtime fan of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, she was excited as hell to work with Campbell, and the feeling was mutual. Check out a little bit of State of Mind here.
You left a hole in my heart, big enough to drive a truck through. And now there's no way home that I can find.
Love is a state of grace, a state of grace.
Classic sounding, right? In this chat, Campbell and Price talk about getting back on the road after so long away. They talk about songwriting with other people. Price thinks it can be more personal than sleeping with someone. Campbell gets Price excited by revealing that he's being joined on some dates by old school Heartbreakers drummer Stan Lynch. And the two make plans to meet up on the road, specifically when they're both opening huge amphitheaters for Chris Stapleton in June. Enjoy.
Good morning, Margo. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Are you in Nashville?
I am. Yep, I'm here. And I leave on tour in just a few days. I'm excited.
Yeah, just isn't it great to play again, huh?
I know. How did you have so much fun? It looked amazing.
I couldn't believe how good the audiences were. They're like, it's like it's better than it used to be.
Yeah, it's because everybody missed it and they like appreciate it again.
I know, that's what it feels like. So it's been a real joy, like surprisingly fun, and we're having a blast.
Well, the Nashville crowd was going nuts, and if you can get a Nashville crowd to clap, geez, you can do anything.
Well, they kind of did their own thing. They were good singers too. It's good to see. I'm sitting on the couch where we wrote our songs and everything, as you remember.
I see that. I know.
God, how long ago was that? Seems like a year ago, doesn't it?
It really was. I was actually just in California, but you were not there.
Mm.
So I was driving around needing directions. And yep, now I'm back home here in Tennessee.
Good.
You're getting ready to be out. We're going to be playing some of these same dates.
That's right. We're going to be in the same shows, a few places. I hope we get to sing together, maybe a couple of them.
I know. I would love to.
We have a song that we know together.
I know. I mean, I had a blast singing that. And I know that it's probably going to be hard for y'all to work up It's Not Love, but oh man, the other song that I sang on your record.
Cheap Talk. Yeah.
Cheap Talk. It's like so good.
We learned it, but it's not the same without the kiss, kiss French girl sound. But anything's possible. We do know how to play it. It's just it's a heavy riff, you know, in the middle of a show, like it goes on. It's intense. But if you were around, yeah, we could make it fun. If you want to do it.
Let's do it.
I'm up for it.
Yeah, we got some sound checks. We can just like we can check it out there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, so what's been going on? Are you going to start recording another album again?
We're going to play most off and on throughout the year live. I can't tell you yet, but I've got a big surprise. I've got some dates opening for somebody else in October, November that I'm really excited about. But I made the mistake the other day of mentioning it in an interview, and she came and said, "Oh no, you can't say it yet." But we got an opening slot. We got an opening slot that'll keep us busy. And then in December, I think we'll probably do our third album. It'll only take a couple of weeks. We've already got plenty of songs. So yeah, just live and then recording at the end of the year and keep on going. How about you?
Oh, well, you know, I've been trying to get this record of mine out, and it has not been as easy as I wanted it to be.
Oh, bummer. We had the same problem, but what are we going to do? You know, it's like, it's interesting, this two-year isolation thing. There was a point in the middle there, I don't know how you felt, but it got so crazy and lonely that I thought, like, maybe it's never going to come back. Maybe we'll never play gigs again. Maybe the whole world is just going to be messed up like this the rest of our lives. But it's starting to open up now. We played a few gigs last week, and it was just so spiritual. I mean, there's so much love in the room, and such a joy to be back to live music again. I mean, the world really needs it. You know, the people need it. We need it. And so it's good to see that things are opening up. I'm sure you're having the same experience.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like everything was kind of screwed forever. I remember calling my drummer Dylan and just being like, I don't know, I think it's done. And it was so scary because it's like, you know, the way that the streaming industry has kind of changed things, like that is where I make my money. That is definitely my livelihood. And I thought, well, they'll never be able to take that away. And lo and behold, I was wrong.
At least it wasn't the suits. It was the fucking biology of the world. But that's passing, and we're going to be okay.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I do believe we're going to be okay.
I think so, too. We're going to come out of this for the better, I'm sure.
And it's our job to go out and heal people, right? Give them a break from all that crap for a few hours and try to bring some joy to everybody, you know?
I know. Yeah, I get really depressed when I'm not at home on the road. I have figured that out. I need people telling me that I'm great.
You need self-assurance.
I just sit at home and I start thinking I'm losing it. But
Listen to me. You're great.
You're great.
make no mistake about it. If you have any doubts about it, in my book, you're great.
Thank you.
And everyone I talk to, you know, they always ask about you singing on the record, and they just love you so much, as I do. You've got a good rep out there, so I wouldn't worry too much.
Well, thank you. That really means the world coming from you. You know, you're one of my biggest heroes. And I remember when my manager, Amy, was like, you know, they're trying to get me to branch out and like write with people for my record and everything, because I can be a little hard-headed. And so she suggested you, and I was like, well, yeah, I would write with him, but I just think I would be too nervous to do that. And then we came out, we wrote some songs, and it was like, it was just so fun. It was really amazing to kind of watch you work. And, you know, I had a couple songs that I really didn't know what to do with. And yeah, you're one of my favorite songwriters. So thank you for sitting down and giving me a chance.
Well, thank you back. It was fun. You know, I'm like you. I'm not used to writing with other people. I mostly write in my own little cocoon. Mm-hmm. So it was a stretch for me, and with Chris Stapleton as well, to sit with someone else and try to, you know, and work on songs together. Because Tom and I would always work independently, usually. I would give him a track and he would do the lyrics and then he would come back and show me. So I'm used to doing it that way, but I really enjoyed you and Jeremy. We had a blast, and I think I could get used to the co-writing thing as time goes on. I'll get more comfortable with it.
Yeah, same. And I love the song that you wrote with Chris. I get nervous too, though, to like be in the room with somebody. You're just like spitting out ideas.
It's like being naked, yeah.
It is. It's like, I think it's more personal than sleeping with someone, honestly. You're just like trying to put yourself out there, and I don't know, you're going to say things that maybe aren't good every single time, and then you gotta worry about getting shot down. So that's what y'all always wrote, like separate. You didn't ever sit and kind of try to flush things out.
Most of the time it was separate. I would usually start with a piece of music. I only started writing lyrics recently, which I really enjoy now, but when I was working with Tom, I always knew he'd come up with something better than I could think of, so I would just do the music. and give it to him. And if he liked it, then he'd we'd get together and he'd show me what he, which is such a thrill, you know, to hear, like, to give him some chords and he comes back with Refugee or, you know, or Woman in Love or Here Comes My Girl. He was so good. And I missed that, you know, being able to give him stuff and get that kickback from him. But that's how we worked. Yeah, I would work on my own and then we would get together and he would show me what he thought, which was usually perfect. If not, we would hack it out together a little bit in the studio. But there was never like sitting on a couch eyeball to eyeball, like, well, what do you think? You know, can you think of anything? We never did that. I guess some people do it.
Yeah, yeah. Jeremy and I do that both ways too. I mean, when you find someone that you can write with and it works, I mean, it just feels really natural. And y'all wrote some of the best songs ever. I mean, we've definitely studied, you know, chord progressions and like what makes those songs so brilliant. But we, every now and then we sit in the same room and we write things and I end up like yelling at him.
Did he enjoy the tour? We had a great time with him on the tour. I hope he had fun.
He had a blast. And I saw footage of him playing harmonica with y'all last night. It was so great.
I felt for him though, because he was out on the road by himself. He didn't have a tour manager. He was driving from state to state on his own, like the lonely troubadour. And then he'd show up and do his acoustic guitar and hit the car and head on to the next city. That's pretty brave, you know?
I know.
But he said he liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I can relate because it's like, we never get alone time anymore. You know, we got two kids and then whenever we're traveling, we're with the band, with my band, we're on the bus and 12 people sardined in one bus. That's how we roll.
Mm, that's a lot of people for one bus. You know?
That is a lot of people for one bus. And then, you know, we make it work. But I think he absolutely enjoyed it. He wrote a lot of songs. I think he felt really inspired.
Good.
And I mean, that was surreal for him to be out there opening for you. And I wanted to come out to the last show and then I got pulled away for some work stuff.
Are you going to be free to come to Florida or are you booked up then when he, because he's going to make up those dates with us, I think in May sometime.
I would love to come. I would absolutely love to come.
If you can do, yeah, we'll make it worth your while.
Okay. I'll be there.
Hey, this is Josh Modell, host of the Talkhouse podcast. We love it when musicians come on the show and talk about process, and often they'll get into the nuts and bolts of being a working artist, which can sometimes be fun and sometimes feel more like a business. Well, this episode of Talkhouse is brought to you by DistroKid, which is an amazing service for musicians looking to get their songs out into the world in an incredibly smart and cost-effective way. For the past decade plus, DistroKid has made it easy to get your music on all the streaming services, including Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Instagram, and more. You keep 100% of your earnings minus a flat yearly fee, which is a better deal than you'll find anywhere else. More than a million artists use DistroKid, and the latest version of their app is better than ever. It includes features that make it easy to see your account details, including the money you've earned, as well as to seamlessly edit things like lyrics and metadata across platforms. There's even a feature called Instant Share, which allows you to easily share files with your bandmates, booking agent, playlist curators, and more. DistroLock allows you to protect your songs. DistroKid users get a YouTube official artist channel too. The list goes on. The DistroKid app is available on iOS and Android. Go check it out today.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.
Well, I got you here. I was going to ask you what it was like on those sessions with Johnny Cash.
Oh, wow. Well, he was such a hero of mine. It took me a while to just get over the fact that I was sitting there next to Johnny Cash. Because my dad was a big fan and always played those records. But he was so down to earth and sweet. And he always treated me like an equal, which I could never quite get comfortable with. But that's the type of guy he was. But what a presence. I mean, he would walk in the room and it's like only a few other people I know could do that. Bob Dylan could do that. George Harrison could do that. But they just walk in a room and just fill up the room with their presence and their aura. He was one of those guys. And we had a lot of fun because a lot of that stuff we did with Rick Rubin was acoustic, you know, just a couple of guitars and Johnny's big voice. And it was pretty intimate, but boy, what a grateful thing to have had those moments with him.
Oh my goodness. I never got to meet him, but,
oh, he would have loved you.
Oh man.
Guaranteed.
He was like one of the first, you know, artists in like country music in the genre that I just was really, really drawn to just because of what he stood for. He was as rock and roll as he was country, you know. Yeah. He did what he wanted, and it was just really inspiring to hear. During the heavy days of the pandemic, I was making a record out at the Cash Cabin with his son, John Carter Cash. And I just started working on this project just to kind of keep myself busy and, you know, have a reason to get up in the morning. But it's just sitting there. So I don't know. Next time you come to Nashville, you should come out there with me and play on some stuff.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah.
Yeah. He used to have a pet emu. Does he still have that out there?
Yeah, I tell you, he's got all these like wild, like South African deer.
Oh, okay.
He's got like a whole herd of deer, and
awesome.
He's growing mushrooms out there, not the psychedelic kind, but just, you know, the kind that you eat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And it was really cool. There was like a rocking chair that was Johnny's, and his like initials are carved in it. Of course, I was playing all his guitars and everything, but I just can't, I love that, you know, that album that y'all made with him, and just was always wondered about the experience of being in there, and imagine it was a thrill. Yeah.
It was a thrill. You know what Johnny did? Cause like I said, my dad used to play his records a lot. And as I was growing up, that was one of the first inspirations I had. One year the Heartbreakers were on tour in Europe, I think in Copenhagen or someplace, and we had a day off, and the Highwaymen were on tour, and they were playing on our day off, so we decided that we would go down and see them play. And they took us down there, took us backstage, and they brought me into the dressing room, and Johnny was sitting there on a folding chair, and I went over to him and started gushing, you know, oh, you know, my dad used to play, and I love you, and da-da-da-da. And he was real gracious. And I said, you know, my favorite song was Don't Take Your Guns to Town. And he goes, oh, that song on the set list. We didn't work that one up. I said, that's okay. I'm not asking you to play. I just wanted you to know that song is one of my favorite songs. So we're watching the show. They go up and we're on the side of the stage. And Johnny goes up to the mic and he goes, and he just met me. He goes, I want to do this song for Mike, who I just met. And he did that song.
Amazing.
You know, and the rest of the band followed it, but you know, he did that for me, and that's the kind of guy he was. He was very generous.
So cool.
So I thought you'd appreciate that.
Yeah. I do appreciate that, man. His daughter Roseanne is real cool too, man. I love her.
I've met her a couple of times. Yeah, she's sweet,
man.
Yeah, and talented.
Yeah, she is.
So what are your plans? When do you go hit back on the road? What are you doing?
Well, tomorrow is my birthday.
Happy birthday to you. You smell like a wild deer and you look like one too.
Thank you. Yeah, it's my birthday. And then we're actually doing a secret show in town in Nashville.
You're 29, right?
I'm 29 for the 10th year in a row. Yeah. And feeling great, actually feeling better than ever.
Good.
I keep saying I'm going to come out of this pandemic like Tina Turner on the back end of what should have been my career, but I got a late start anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we're going out. I haven't done a headlining tour in quite some time, but we're going out. We're opening for Stapleton, which you will be on.
I'm so stoked for that.
Doing some festivals, playing Montana, some festival out there for the first time. And I wrote a memoir, and I'm putting out a book on October 2nd.
Oh, cool. I want a copy.
All right, I'll send you one.
And please sign it to Mike from Margo.
Okay, I will. You know, like, I remember the first time I saw the Running Down a Dream, like, documentary, and just how inspiring that was to see. And, like, you know, I know that y'all really went through it for a long time before things started going your way. And then even, you know, when you got in there, it was like, Tom was just always like fighting for what was fair for him and for his fans. Mm-hmm. And like, that's so inspiring. You know, I try to live up to that, but man, it's real hard. This business is hard. I don't like it.
Do you feel like it's harder because you're a woman? Does that make it worse or? Probably not, huh? At this point.
I mean, I think all artists are like taken advantage of. And I think, you know, songwriters in general, it's like, what is the worth in a song now that, you know, all these like huge tech companies have just really showed us like what they think. So I think it's just changed so much, but I definitely have had some like sexist things happen. Like I had these people tell me that they weren't going to sign me because they already had two women on the label.
Oh, you got to carry the torch, you know, Tammy Wynette, Loretta Lynn, they all went before you. You got to carry the torch of strong women, you know, don't let anybody push you around. But the label thing, I hear you, it's hard on them too, though, you know, because the industry's changed so much. They can't sell as much product as they used to.
Yep.
So that makes them uptight, and they try to fit you into their agenda. And so I kind of have a little sympathy for them, what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a song and dance, you know, give and take. Stand up for what you really want and also kind of try to compromise for what they can do for you.
Yep.
So, you know, just keep fighting. Just keep fighting for it. You know, it'll come through.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just getting so antsy because it's like, you know, the pandemic hit. Before that, I had a baby. And so it was like my career had just taken off, and I have so much music I want to put out, but I know it's got to all be done right. I'm trying to be easy to work with, but I don't know. That's not fun either.
Well, I found you very easy to work with. Yeah, but the whole pandemic, I think of it like coitus interruptus. Because we were all ready to go, you know. Excuse me for that little, that's a band joke. But we were all ready to go too. And it's like, whoops, pull the plug. Like, you know, hurry up. What? I can't go? Okay. How long? 2 years? Are you kidding me?
I know.
Forever maybe? But, you know, fortunately, there is some light. We can see a little bit of the light at the end, and we'll have our gigs, you know. And the industry, man, I don't know what to say about it. It's like the streaming. Thank God the vinyls come back a little bit.
Amen.
That's a breath of fresh air. But the streaming and all that, you know, back in my day, you know, it was not that hard. Well, we were lucky too, but you could sell a lot of records, you know. And if you went out and toured, it all kind of worked. But now that's sort of been pulling out from under our feet, like, well, there's not that little cushion there of record sales to keep you going. So it really, you become more dependent, like you said, on your live shows for your well-being. And thank God we have that. But I don't know. I just keep hoping the industry somehow will morph into something where we're all start getting what we deserve from our recordings as well. Maybe something will happen.
Keeping the faith. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I need a pep talk every now and then.
Don't we all? Yeah. Well, you can always call me, Margo. I'll pep you up.
All right.
Hey, baby, que paso? You can always give me a call. I try to take an optimistic look on things, but I hear you. It's been rough. But, you know, it's been rough on everybody, not just us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but I don't know, man. If you get started on what's going on, the fucking world out there with all this shit going on now, it's so depressing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really some dark shit going on. I mean, there's always been dark shit, but right now, like this.
It does feel overwhelming.
Ukraine and all that. It's like, what the fuck, man? The shootings and all this crap.
Mm-hmm.
Pandemic. I mean, the pandemic has like already taken a second seat to this other shit that's come up now.
Yeah.
So you just keep fighting through it, you know. I don't know what to say, but I try not to watch too much news, just enough to keep informed. But
no, it's the same.
That'll depress you for sure.
Yeah. I know. I've been really just trying to lean back into writing and just playing music and remembering like why I started doing it in the first place. It's easy to get lost and to get focused on the wrong things and, you know, like go through awards season, you see everybody getting all the trophies and you start thinking like, hey, maybe I don't got it. Maybe I don't cut it, whatever. And I've been trying to get back to just remembering like why I like to do it in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, you got to remember those trophies, that means nothing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, none of those, they don't mean anything. None of that stuff. All that matters is that you have the joy of doing what you love to do.
Got
to
keep grounded.
They sit up on a shelf and they collect dust. You know, it means nothing.
That's right. Yeah. I was read about this study that was like done with children, and it's about intrinsic rewards and stuff and how, you know, they get the kids, they get them to paint and, you know, they're having such a fun time, like painting their pictures and everything's good. And then all of a sudden after the kids do a painting, then if they do good, they give them like a gold star. And, you know, so the kids are getting a gold star, right? And then after a while, then the kids are doing the paintings, they don't give them the gold star anymore. They take it away. And then the children all stop painting. Yeah. And I don't know why that story just made me so sad.
It's like the Santa Claus myth. You know, it's like life, the reality of life is not like Santa Claus. They teach you, you know, there's this great, wonderful guy who brings you toys and a sled and reindeer. It's all a big lie.
It's all bullshit.
And as you get past that, you go, oh, they were just bullshitting me. Now I have to get back to what do I really want to do? Screw all that.
Exactly.
You know, what's really important? Family and music, you know?
Uh-huh. Amen.
Yeah. Life is like that. You know, you've got your joy and then you've got your reality. And sometimes they are at odds with each other.
Yeah. I have one more thing I wanted to ask you. Well, I don't know how we're doing on time.
I'm fine.
When you came to Nashville and you were like, let's do a, you got lucky. And then I started watching that music video that y'all made for You Got Lucky, which is such a wild video. Whose idea was it and who made it?
Our lighting director back in the day, his name was Jim Lenahan. He came up with that whole out in the desert with the space car and the all that stuff, and you know,
it was so good.
I had nothing to do with it at all, but
you just had one of the star roles, though.
I like the kind of Clint Eastwood vibe about it. You know, we're just out here in the spooky music, and I don't know. You know, that song's fun to do live. We do it live now, but we stretch it out and we do a whole guitar extravaganza with surf music and this and that in the middle of it.
Nice.
At the end, and the audience. I get the audience, they started singing along on the chorus, and it's so beautiful. I just have the band stop and let them sing it. We have a handful of songs that have held up over the years. And on this tour, of course, I'm promoting the Dirty Knobs records. But every now and then I throw in, you know, an older Heartbreaker song that people are familiar with. And they just love it so much, you know.
Yeah.
And I like keeping those songs, keeping them alive, you know.
Oh, someone's got to. I mean, yeah, they're amazing.
Might as well be me. It's a dirty job.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah, right.
Now, the new album is so good. Like, Jeremy and I put it on and sat around the fire and was like, I just had tears rolling down my cheeks. I couldn't believe that I got to sing on your record, honestly.
I'm proud of it. But you certainly added quite a level of brilliance to it, for sure.
Oh, I didn't do nothing. You were talking me through all those harmonies.
My drummer Swamp Fox is singing your part when we do that song, and boy,
yes.
he has the greatest respect for you now that he's had to try to learn your harmonies.
Dude, I got respect for him. He is such a good drummer.
He's a good singer too. He's got a great voice.
Yeah.
But, he finally got where, you know, it's not you, but we can get the song across, you know.
Cool. Oh, that's amazing. Well, I can't wait to come to Florida and sing that. And then I guess, yeah, I'll see you out on these Stapleton dates. I'll sing any song you want.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. You know, like the Dirty Knobs are third on the bill, so we'll probably be playing to like 30 people in an arena. But if you're around before your show and want to step out with us and do that song, I'm always open for that because you're just... You know, beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Same. Well.
So what's the rest of your day look like?
Well, I'll tell you what. My little daughter, Ramona, she fractured her leg yesterday.
What, on a horse?
So, no, thank goodness. She was on the trampoline. And so we went, we got some x-rays. She's being really tough, but it's kind of... I don't know. It was supposed to be my birthday week, so I had like some things lined up. Me and my band are having rehearsals over the next few days, and I'm gonna spend my birthday weekend just like making music and hanging with my fam. So
Ramona,
thank you.
That's a great name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does she have after a middle name?
It was after the Dylan song, of course. You know, to Ramona, and then her middle name is Lynn. Which
Lynn. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Loretta gave it to her. So Loretta's her godmother. Yeah.
Oh, really? That's amazing. Yeah.
She called me on the phone. I was all pregnant and I was scared. I was like, oh man, this is going to just ruin everything. You know? And she's like, oh, you're going to be fine, baby girl. Just give her
baby girl.
Like just middle name is Lynn. You know, she said it could work for a boy or a girl, but thank goodness I had a girl. Cause I don't think I'd want to name a boy Lynn. Just it's like a boy named Sue, maybe. I don't know.
A boy named Sue, yeah. How do you do? You're going to die.
God bless Shel Silverstein and Johnny Gill.
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing with the rest of your day in beautiful Malibu?
I have rehearsal. I have, it's interesting. I have my drummer, Swamp Fox, every year goes to Italy and plays with this guy named Vasco, who's like the Bruce Springsteen of Italy. And he goes over for a month. And that's his money gig for the year.
Nice.
So he had that. And I wanted to play that. I had some gigs booked. So you might appreciate this. I needed a fill-in drummer for that month. And I got our original Heartbreakers drummer, Stan Lynch.
Shit.
Who I reconnected with. So we're rehearsing with him. So he's going to...
I get to meet him on the road?
Maybe. I think he's on some of the Stapleton dates. I'm not really sure, but...
Sweet!
So we've been rehearsing with him this week so that he knows the set.
I love him.
I think it's going to be really special. And so rehearsing with him today, and then tomorrow we go up to Frisco, do a couple of shows, and back down here and do the Troubadour a couple of nights, and then a little break, and then we're off and running to the Midwest and Florida, wherever else, I don't know.
Nice.
I said, book me everywhere except Antarctica, and I'll be there.
Too cold for guitars up in Antarctica.
So, yeah, that's my day, some rehearsal. And
cool.
The kids are coming over, grandkids, so I get, a double dose of joy today.
Fun. Aw.
It's been great talking to you, though, Margaret. I really miss you, and I wanted to tell you that that time that you and Jeremy spent out here was so much fun, and I hope that we stay friends going forward.
Well, thank you. Thanks for making music with us, and thanks for all the music you've made. You know, we just think the world of you.
Thank you. And don't get down. You keep your spirits up.
I'm trying. I got the birthday blues.
Honestly, if you get in a hole, you can call Uncle Mike. I'll talk you down.
All right, you'll get a call.
I'm a good therapist, actually.
I've been doing a lot of therapy.
Just ask my band. But seriously, if you ever want to just talk, I love talking to you, and I want to stay connected, and I'm always here for you, and I wish you nothing but joy and hope.
Oh, shit, you're going to make me cry.
So we will be seeing each other, and it's going to be a blast.
Hell yeah.
Okay, you take care.
All right, talk soon.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Talkhouse podcast, and thanks to Margot Price and Mike Campbell for chatting. If you like what you heard, please follow Talkhouse on your favorite podcasting platforms and social media channels. This episode was produced by Myron Kaplan, and the Talkhouse theme is composed and performed by The Range. See you next time.